about this thing of being a good soldier. Just kind of what I've been saying already is coming out of my heart, because it's coming out of God's heart. And I know that you've heard this, and I know you're aware of it, and I've preached on it, and you've heard it preached and all of that, but still yet, we need to understand what God expects out of us. What God is expecting out of us. When you got saved, let me say this tonight. Every saved person, not 90%, not 95%, every saved person, God expects you to be a soldier. There are no saved citizens, and then there's another class called saved soldiers. You know, how many in our churches today think that, well, I'm saved, but are they living the life, are they a soldier? Every saved, I can't find it, Brother Ivan, in the scripture where there is just saved people, and then there's a few that goes on and enlist as a soldier. If I know the Bible any at all, I believe that every saved person, when you get saved, you're enlisted. When you get saved, listen, you're not born again into a playground. You're born on to a battleground. The enemy that you once walked with as a friend now becomes your foe. Amen. In verse 2, well, let's just start in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. Here's the ultimate goal. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from it. Our ultimate goal, Brother Stallard, is not to fight to win. We've already won. The ultimate goal of God's people, and every one of them, are soldiers. Every one of God's children are soldiers. Here's the ultimate goal. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That is the ultimate goal, is to please him. To please him. To please him. I remember preaching not long ago here on a message on who are you pleasing? A lot of people are pleasing themselves, and some are out to please others. But are we interested in pleasing him that called us and chose us to be a soldier? A call to salvation is a call to serve as a soldier. Let me just point out the word that really stuck out to me in this verse, and that is verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. There's the word that just seemed to really get big to me today. It's the word hardness. A lot of people's got it in their mind that to be saved eliminates the hardness and does away with troubles and does away with opposition, and everything will be fine. I mean, if you listen to a lot of the televangelists and a lot of those on television, and you'd think that that's the truth. You'd think that if you got saved, that you'd never have another trouble and you'd never have another problem. Well, how I wish that was true. There's just one thing wrong with it. It's not scriptural. I think the most holy man that's ever walked in shoe leather is Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, you can't beat perfection. And he was God manifest in the flesh. And he was broke all the time. Everything, about everything he had was borrowed. Amen. About everything he did was, he even said the birds of the air have nests and the son of, and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I don't know what that prosperity gospel does with that, Brother Carroll. I don't know how they get over that. Amen. I mean, Jesus Christ was living the best you could live. I mean, he was living absolute perfect. And he was poverty. The Bible said that he that was rich, yet for your sakes became poor. Amen. But anyway, the word hardness, that is something that you and I just need to go ahead and expect it. There needs to be an expectancy of hardness. If you have an expectancy for something other than that, you're probably going to be, no doubt, first disappointed, but you're also, number two, going to be defeated. When you're expecting it to be a bed of roses and to find out that it's full of thorns, then you're probably going to be defeated. Oh, how many people today reject the idea that God's people are supposed to be soldiers? Are you listening? We're being attacked from about every angle, nearly. I got a letter from someone up in West Virginia on Sunday night, and I mean brutally run me through the ringer, and don't know me. He's never met me, knows nothing about our church. And I'd sent that out, forwarded it a couple of people, Brother Mark Green, Brother Silas, and had them to look at it. And I mean, just an attack. Boy, we're under it. We're under an attack. Are you listening? And we ought not to get the poochy lip over that. We ought to say, thank God that we've been counted somewhat worthy to share in the persecution of His worthy name. But a lot of people's got it in their mind that God's people are to be a bunch of pacifists, amen, and softies, and never speak negative about nothing, never stand against nothing. All you ever hear on the television is how to become a better you. Well, I thought about that very statement, Brother Klepper, while I was going to the funeral home there a while ago. Even that very statement right there shows that we're right. How can you become a better you without dealing with the bad that's in you? That very statement implies that there's things in your life that needs to be dealt with. Amen. But the only problem about that, those that would claim to try to help you to become a better you, is that they never deal with anything bad. They never point out nothing negative. They never deal with no sin. They never deal with nothing. They just, you know, the power of positive thinking. But God's people are soldiers nonetheless. And our world and our churches wouldn't be in the shape we're in if God's people would live up to their title and live up to their name of being a soldier. Are you listening? When you step up to be a soldier, you're stepping in the scope of the enemy. You're stepping into the dangerous, to the dangers of the enemy and of the fight. I mean, there's a possibility of getting wounded. There's a possibility of getting wounded. Are you listening? Amen. I got wrote down here several. There's the different titles or different, I don't know what you call them, but like MIA stands for missing in action. And KIA is killed in action. And PWOL is prisoner of war. And WIA is wounded in action. And then AWOL, there's a lot of them, absent without leave. There's a lot of that crowd. They want to get saved and they want to go to heaven. They want to get saved and go to heaven, but there's a part of being saved that a lot of people's rejecting, and that is to be saved, you're a soldier. And just the very term soldier, my friend, identifies that there is a fight. Why do you need a soldier if there's not a battle? I mean, why? Listen, we're called soldiers because there's a fight. You don't need soldiers if there's not a battle, or at least the threat of it. You don't need a soldier unless there's a fight. Amen? It implies that there is a fight. It also implies, of course, if there's a fight, there's a foe. Being a soldier, we need to understand that it is a side issue. Being a soldier is a side issue. Whose side you on? Whose side you on? I tell you whose side you're on. You're on the side of the one you stand up for. You're on the opposite side of the one you stand against. Amen. And a lot of churches, a lot of denominations, I say a lot, some have even removed militant theme songs out of their hymnal. They've taken away songs such as Keep on the Firing Line. They've taken away songs such as Hold the Fort, For I Am Coming, Jesus Signals Still. Any gospel song that's written with a militant slant or got some wording in it that would cause God's people to rise up and meet the challenge, they just take it out of their songbook. But why not when they've taken all of that out of their Bibles as well? I mean, why sing it when you don't preach it? Amen. If you don't preach it, you don't need to sing it either. Amen. So, but nonetheless, I believe God just wants us to look at this verse and be reminded that hardness is expected. Hardness is a part of it. Well, I thought about these two words going together. Endure and hardness. Hardness comes from the enemy. Endurance comes from my Father. Hardness is not what I'm to do, what I cause or what come, you know. Hardness comes from the fight and from the foe and about the cause. But I want to say, but the endurance part comes from the Lord. And I just, see, the devil just pointed this word, or God pointed this word hardness out. Of course, the devil tried to bring in another slant to it. And he just kept trying to bring, well, it's hard. You know, it's hard. This is difficult days to be a Christian. And he tried to labor that point of hardness in my mind. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not popular. Even in the religious world, even in the church world, you know, try to stand for the Lord and they will oppose you. Amen. But I like the word endure. Endure is put right up close to it, right beside of it, to let us know that hardness doesn't need to stop us. God never expects hardness to stop you, because He put the word endure with it. God gives us every resource we need to handle it and to deal with it. And I know preaching what I am tonight, though simple as it is, and most of us know it. Are you listening? The devil's probably going to put another round in his gun. He's probably going to throw another fiery dart at us. Amen. But of course, if you get in his pea patch, he's going to get upset. If you stand and preach against his tactics and expose his agenda, he's not going to like it, and he's going to seek to shut up the church that speaks up and speaks out. And I'll tell you, this church cannot be defeated if its membership stands together. If its membership stands together. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Endure hardness. A lot of verses that deals with our fighting and being in a fight. Paul himself in his dying words in 2 Timothy 4:7 said these words, I fought a good fight. That's what Paul said. Here Paul also in 1 Timothy 1:18, Paul is charging Timothy to war a good warfare. I'm just reading these verses to you to just let you know that it's still right to stand up for what's right. It's still right to speak up for what's right. But what is most difficult to do is to speak up for right when you're not living right. Amen. One of the work that's that. Listen, that's one of the great, great weak links in the chain for the enemy is to get somebody living a carnal life. Yeah. Listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy, I believe it's 6:12. He's telling us to fight the good fight of faith. To fight the good fight of faith. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, Paul talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down, listen, of strongholds. Pulling down of strongholds. So it talks about the weapons. That's a little different from a fork and a spoon. A weapon is not to feed, but to fight. And why have weapons if there's not a fight at hand? But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That is, they're not fleshly and physical. You don't fight this fight with a knife and a gun and a hand grenade. And no, you fight this fight on your knees. You fight this fight with a promise. You fight this fight with devotion. You fight this fight, ladies and gentlemen, by the purposing of your heart that I refuse to surrender. I'm going on and I'm going to be counted as one of God's soldiers. Ephesians chapter 6, you know it well, verse 10 through 18. Paul spends a good bit of time going into the details of the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. Why have an armor if there's no fight? Why have a shield if there's no fiery darts? Why? I mean, you know, why have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace if the devil is not attacking my walk? I mean, why have the breastplate of righteousness, my friend, if the devil's not attacking my heart and my affection? Why have the helmet of salvation on if the devil's not attacking my mind? Are you listening? I mean, why have the sword of the Spirit if there's not an opponent to use it on? Are we listening? I'm just refreshing is the word. I'm refreshing our mind and heart on this matter that God knows we're in a fight. God, listen, that doesn't mean that we're to be hard to get along with. That doesn't mean that we're to be hateful. That doesn't mean that we're to be pharisaical and self-righteous and none of that. But I'm going to tell you, God's people ought to never be cowards. We're in a fight. Jude writes in verse 3 of that little epistle dealing with the last day apostasy and apostates. Jude, verse 3 tells us that we should earnestly contend for the faith. Are you listening? That's right. Hebrews 11:34 talked about a people because of their faith and by their faith waxing valiant in fight. Wax valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Even Jesus said it in put it in a military term when he said in Matthew 16 and verse 18, when he said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Notice the term prevail against it. Amen. The church of the living God has a foe and is in a fight. Amen.
And again, we're not fighting to win. We've already won. We're not fighting to make it to heaven. That's a done deal. We're saved by the grace of God. We're fighting for the cause. And I'll tell you what else we're fighting for. Brother Darrell, we're fighting for the next generation. We're earnestly contending for the faith. Why? So that it can be handed down to the next generation and they can embrace the doctrines of the faith. They can embrace, my friend, what you and I have been given us. Amen. We're fighting for the next generation. Every compromising liberal does not love the next generation. Every church that's interested in building them a little kingdom on whatever means and methods they've got, my friend, they're not other, I mean, at the expense of the gospel, at the expense of holiness, they don't love the next generation. They don't love the next generation. We're earnestly to contend for the faith, here's the key, which was once delivered unto the saints. God gave the body of revealed truth to the church one time. And if we lose it, it's G-O-N-E, gone. And every generation has failed to pass on what was passed on to them. And every new generation gets less interested and less concerned about the very things the previous generation fought for and stood for to hand down to the next generation. And so now we've got it on the scene now to where we've got a generation now that cares nothing about old time religion. We've got a generation now that doesn't care a whole lot about truth. They're more interested in being lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They're more interested, my friend, in self. And they're more interested in success. And they're more interested in silver and gold. And they're more interested in possessions than they are the principal truths that God has given once to the church, once to the saints. Amen. Now I'm not tooting no horn. I don't have a horn to toot. But I'm going to tell you, the young people in this church hears a lot of preaching that young people in other churches will never hear. Brother Bruce, you and your wife is talking about when y'all came to join up with us here at the church, you said that you wanted to bring your children here. I don't know how many people's come here, and that was one of their drive was, I want my son to be here. I want my daughter to be here. I want my children to be here. I want my family here. Brother Preston, I remember well that was your statement as well. Why? Because it's a place, my friend, where the preaching is in line with the Scripture, whether you agree with that or not. Amen. That's right. Last time I read John 8, it says that it's the truth is what makes you free. The truth. Not preaching, not preaching, not church. The truth. The truth is what's got God's authority. The truth is what's got the backing of God and the liberating power of God. But why is it that we want to preach? Or we just want to be obnoxious? Are we wanting to just be different? Are we just wanting to be a stick in the mud? No. We're wanting to hold forth the truth and hand it down to our sons and daughters that they could hand it on down to their sons and daughters. If Jesus does not come at the present rate of decline, if Jesus does not come, I'd hate to see the condition of the churches in 10 years. Are you listening?
going to be, it's bad. I mean, it is really bad. God help us to stay focused. God help us just to know, and listen, I know several of you is under an attack, and make sure you're the one being attacked instead of the one doing the attacking. Are you listening? We've all got that potential. We've all got that potential. Are you listening? Instead of me receiving it, I could be getting on, I could get crossed up, I could get wrong spirit and be the one doing the attacking. And let's just make sure that's not the case, because we're wrestling not against flesh and blood. Hebrews 10 and 32, the Bible said there that they endured a great fight of affliction. I just read those verses to just declare once again, God's people, young or old, if you're saved, you're a soldier. I want you to get this right here, buddy. This is good. Paul is not encouraging Timothy to be a soldier in these verses. He's encouraging Timothy to be a good soldier. Because he was already a soldier. Salvation makes you a soldier. Salvation puts you in the fight. Salvation puts you at odds and opposition with God's enemies. See, God's enemies are supposed to be my enemies. And there's three main ones. The world. Would you not agree that the world system, the world's agenda, the world's direction, everything the world's for, God's against, and what the world's against, God is for, and can we not agree with that tonight? That the Bible said in 1 John that the whole world lieth. How's that worded? I believe it says it lies in the lap of the wicked one. Is that the way that's worded? Let me see if I can spot that right quick. I may have to get back with you on that, but let's see, where's that at? That'll be you some homework for Sunday, amen. The whole world lieth in the lap. The whole world lieth in wickedness. That's the way it's worded. But you can find it when you get home. Amen. I thought I could turn right through it. But the whole world lieth in wickedness. And I did a study on that one time, and it literally means to be lying in the lap of the wicked one. The God of this world, the devil himself, my friend, is the enemy of God, and this is his domain. Why would any saved person get upset when worldliness is preached against? Why would anybody get upset at that? Unless it's someone that chooses that and wants that in their life. The world, the devil's the enemy of God. And a lot of people, everybody in here would say, oh yeah, preacher, I'm against him. Well, are you? If we're against Him, it'll show up in our life. It'll show up on our lips. It'll show up in our behavior. A person that chooses worldliness, my friend, are they really an enemy of the devil? I mean, really? When the book of James chapter 4 tells us to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. In fact, James chapter 4 calls a person that's saved, that is worldly, he calls them a spiritual adulterer and adulteress. That's strong language right there, friend. And I didn't word it, I didn't say it, Jesus did. The Word of God says it. Know you not. You adulterers and adulteresses, that friendship of the world is enmity. Enmity, which is an expression of deep hatred. Enmity. You're a friend of the world. You're at enmity with God. You're expressing deep hatred in action for the Lord. Well, Lord, help us, Jesus. I need to get on with it here. But Paul is encouraging Timothy to be a good soldier. And God wants us to endure. God wants us to endure. He wants us to endure. Are you listening? He wants us to endure. And that word endure, I believe everybody knows what it means. Don't need it defined. But He wants us to endure. Just don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't give out. Stay with it. And God's just wanting to refresh my heart about that. And God wants you to as well. If you're under an attack, resist it. Don't give in to it. And that's easier said than done, but God's given us the resources. A soldier doesn't go fight on his own resources. The country represents, and the commander that he represents is under obligation to furnish all the resources, the training, the tools, the weapons, the strategy, everything. Amen. Well, let me give you this here. And we know that we can endure. And listen, hardness shouldn't stop you because God said we can endure. God's give us grace in verse 1. God's give us grace. That grace is greater than the opposition. God's give us godly examples in verse 2. You know, God's give us everything we need. But here's the thing I want to share with you, and I'm going to be done. We're going to have altar prayer and be through. There's some dangers, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to fighting the fight of faith and warring a good warfare. There's some dangers. And I think verse number one, the first danger is there's a danger of becoming weak in our stand. Why do you think Paul is coming in strong with Timothy and saying, be strong? Be strong. Why was he telling be strong if there wasn't a tendency to be weak? Anytime that the Bible tells, like in Ephesians 6, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why that challenge? Because the opposite is also true. You can be weak. And there's a danger, boy, when the fight gets on. Let it wear you out. And let it wear you down. Are you listening? So there's a danger of becoming weak in our stand. And then, verse number 3, there's a danger of wandering from our status. What's our status? Being a good soldier. A quitting soldier won't be a good soldier. A soldier that won't obey and won't keep rank and doesn't think about his fellow soldiers and doesn't love the cause will never be a good soldier. But what I'm pointing out here simply is that when the fight is on, there's a danger of wandering from that. It's not really, it's no longer a priority of being a good soldier. We could say a lot about that. But number three, a third danger that I see here is not only becoming weak in our stand and wandering from our status, but also becoming worldly with our separation. Look at it in verse number 4. No man that warreth, notice this statement, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I was eating lunch one day this week and up at Burger King, and in walked some soldiers. I didn't have to go ask them, are you a soldier? I knew when they walked in the door they were soldiers. Why? Their attire gave them away. Even in America, friend, our country has so ordered, my friend, that the soldiers that represent our country dress accordingly. Amen? They dress accordingly. They dress to fit the title. If we're soldiers, we need to look like it. Everybody around us ought to know just by looking at us that we're a soldier. That we're a soldier in the army of God. Amen. I mean, even our country's got some standards in that regard. Amen. Well, it don't matter what you wear. Well, tell Washington. Let them send them to Afghanistan with a three-piece suit and a tie. No, they send them over there with the proper attire, with the proper camouflage. That'll give them the extra whatever they need to not be identified by the enemy, but to stand. But not become worldly. Look what it said is, no man that warreth entangleth himself. God uses this term entangleth to describe what happens to a soldier that stops wanting to be a soldier and starts wanting to be a citizen again. A person that got saved, instead of pursuing that life, are y'all listening? Instead of pursuing that life, they start wanting to dibble-dabble around with the flesh and with worldliness again. God says what that is described as entanglement. To be entangled. You ever seen a little butterfly or bug entangled in a spider's web? It's not good. It's not good. Anything that gets entangled in something is not good. Worldliness. Become worldly with their separation. And every saved person is a soldier. And every soldier is to act accordingly, is to dress accordingly, is to talk accordingly. Every saved person, my friend, should be quick to obey. Should be teachable. Steadfast, dependable, and on. But here's the last thing I noticed. Not only there's a danger of becoming weak in our stand and wandering from our status and becoming worldly with our separation, but also, and here's one I believe is going to be the deal, is that the danger of when we're in a fight is that we start wanting to please self. Instead of pleasing Him who called us, instead of pleasing the One that chose us, when we get in the thick of things and get in the fight, you know what? If we're not careful, self will become very important. And a soldier is a selfless person. They're engaged in a selfless task. Are you listening? But they want to please self rather than to please God. A soldier lives the selfless life, willing to sacrifice for others. And I think tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, isn't tomorrow Veterans Day? Thank God for those that have fought and those that have, many of them have been wounded, and they'll carry those wounds through the rest of their life, suffer mental anguish more than any of us will ever know. Every time I ever see one of them, if they wearing a hat or a pin or something, a tag on their car, every time I see one of them, I try to make it a point to go up to them and thank them personally for what they've contributed to our freedom. I tried to do that. Because many of them feel as though they've been forgotten, and the price that has been paid has looked on as just a light or little thing. But that last danger is the want to please self. Boy, when you want to please self, you better be on guard. It's hard to fight for God's cause when you're... And you know one of the ways of pleasing self is? You want to avoid pain. You want to avoid problems. And you want to avoid the negative. And you want to avoid the hardships. God help us. God help us, amen. I felt like the Lord wanted us not really just come in and go real deep and nothing, but just to establish the Bible truth that you and I are soldiers and we are in a fight. We've got a foe. And let's not quit. Let's not give in. Let's not let the hardness make us hard. Let's not let the hardness make us hard. Let's stay spiritual. Let's stay right with God. Amen. Try to stay right with the Lord. And you know, you've heard me quote what my Uncle Joe said to me. Of course, it's been twisted all around on the internet, but I've told it numerous times, told it the same way every time, that my Uncle Joe told me when I was in my first battle in conflict in church in South Carolina, and was being opposed greatly. Brother Carroll, y'all was down there. He had y'all praying for me. And he told me, he said, whatever you do, conduct yourself. See, they failed to leave all this out on the internet. Said, conduct yourself and behave yourself so that you will not have to apologize. In other words, stay right with God. Stay sweet. Don't get irritable. Don't lose your cool. Don't give them a tongue lashing. You know, don't hit one of them. Conduct yourself so that you'll never have to apologize. Of course, that crowd on the internet, you know, they try to make you look bad, and they just left all of that out. They just said that they heard Preacher Rackley say that he lives to where he don't have to apologize, that he's always right. Ain't that? I wouldn't be in their shoes for their socks. Are you listening? And oh, how I wanted to get on there and correct that. I wanted to get over that. I mean, they're attacking my character, and that's I mean, everybody can see that. And oh, how I wanted to get on there and say, no, this is what happened. No, this is, this, you know. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I'm going to let God handle it. If He wants to deal with it, whatever. I'm focusing on going forward and preaching the Word of God and trying to stay right with God. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.